We're holding on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah, our last Mishnah of the Masechta. We've been talking about things going on in the Bis Mikdash. So this one, this last Mishnah is also talking about things in is also talking about Shavus in the Bis Mikdash. The Mishnah says Sheretz Shenimtzu B'Mikdash. If you find a dead Sheretz in the Bis Mikdash, now a dead Sheretz would be Muktzah. Nevertheless, you can take it out on Shabbos because again, ain't Shavuos b'Mikdash. But the question is how you should take it out. You don't want the Kohen can't touch it with his bare hands, for sure not, because if he touches it with his bare hands, he's going to become Tomei, and then he himself is not allowed to be in the Bis Mikdash. You're not allowed to be a Tomei person, of course, is not allowed to be in the Bis Mikdash. So you have to remove it with something else. So what is the something else? Kohen Mitzia Behem Yonai. The Kohen should take it with, it should take it out in his belt. So like he picks it up using a fold of his belt and carries it out. Even though Rashi says it comes out then that he's being metame, the belt, the avnet, which is after all one of the big de kahuna. And there are even achronim that talk about the possibility that there may be actually an is, it's not, there may actually be an isser in doing so. But in this case over here, you want to be able to get out the tumah as fast as possible. Shalayla shahai sisatumah, in order not to leave the tumah there any longer than necessary. Divir Rabbi Yechon ben Breuka. This is what Rabbi Yechon ben Breuka says. Instead of the kohen having to go and find some kind of keli to take it out with, better let him just pick it up with his belt, and that with he's always wearing his belt, of course, because it's one of the big kahuna, and that way he gets it out of there as fast as possible. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a bit zvas shel eitz. Rabbi Yehuda says no. What you do is you go and get wooden tongs to take it out. Shalom l'rabbis is a truma in order not to increase the truma, because a wooden tongs are pshute klei eitz. They're a wooden keli that doesn't have a base kibble, so it's not makabel truma. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda says, better to do that, because if you pick it up using the avnate, hemyone, by the way, is another word, hemyon is another word for a belt, so it's the avnate. If he picks it up with his belt, the problem is that then he's making more tumah. Now you have the belt itself now is tumah. Okay, so fine, it's not there's not necessarily an isser in having it in the Bis Mikdash. You just take it and tovel it, but still Rabbi Yehuda would rather that you don't make more things tomei that don't have to be. So if you take it with wooden tongs and take it out, then nothing becomes tomei, because the wooden tongs are not metame. As far as Rashi also adds that a sheretz is not metame b'masa, it's not metame a person when he carries it without touching it. So therefore, by carrying the sheretz in his belt or in his wooden or with his wooden tongs, the kohen himself is not going to become tamei. He's also not going to become tamei from wearing the clothes, because the clothes are a rishon, the belt is a rishon latruma. A rishon latruma can't be matame a person. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Meheichan mitziyah noisei. Going back to so on Shabbos. The machloikas about whether you should use the avnate or the wooden tongs, but pashtos applies on weekdays as well, because you have the question, do you want it? Still, you don't necessarily have something else available right then and there. So therefore, what should you use? Should you use the avnate, or should you go get the wooden tongs, even though it means the sheretz is going to be there a little longer? But primarily, we're talking about from the point of view of the dinim of Shabbos, that we're saying you're allowed to carry it out on Shabbos, even though dead shrotzim are muktzah, because again, ein shavus b'mikdash. And so the next part is, what part of the Bis Mikdash do we say that you can actually carry it out on Shabbos? Where do you take the sheretz out of if you find it? Mina heichel, if you find the sheretz in the heichel, you take it out on Shabbos. Or mina ulam, or from the ulam, which is the front entryway of the heichel. Or mi bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach, or between the ulam and the mizbeach, which is also an area, now that's already outside in the Azara, but that area of the Azara has a higher level of kedusha. As a divid of Shimon Menanas, that's what Shimon Menanas says, as opposed to if you find it in the rest of the Azara, we're going to say in a minute what you do. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's more than that. Any part of the Bis Mikdash where if a person goes in there b'mezid when he's tomei, then he's chayev kares. And if he goes in there b'shogeg when he's tomei, then he's chayev achatos. Meaning not just the areas that we mentioned, but also the whole rest of the Azara, of the Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Kohenim, is also an area where if a person goes in there when he's tomei, then there's kares and chatos involved. As opposed to, so according to Reb Shimon Nanas, for example, if you found the dead sheretz in next to the Mizbeach, let's say, or in the Ezras Kohenim, or in the Ezras Yisrael, then you wouldn't be allowed to take it out from there on Shabbos, even though those are places that have Kedusha, they don't have the higher level of Kedusha of Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach, or of the Ulam, or of the Heichel. As opposed to, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would take it out from those places also. Only if you found it in the Chayil, or the Ezras Noshim, or the rest of the Harabayas, then you wouldn't. So Misham might see, Rabbi Akiva says, from those places where, in other words, the whole Azara, you would take out the dead sheretz. Anywhere else that you find it, so anywhere outside the Azara, according to Rabbi Akiva, or anywhere beyond, or anywhere further out than Bein Ha'olam V'Lamizbeach, according to Rabbi Shimon Menanas, you overturn a pot onto it. Rashi explains the word psachter means a copper pot. So they had, there was a large copper pot that they had in the Beis Mikdash. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere talks about that they had three different purposes that they used it for. One of them was for this purpose. If they found a dead sheretz in the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos, then they were in a place where you're not allowed to pick it up and carry it out because of Muktzah, then they would cover it up with this pot until after Shabbos.
Does the pot become tummy?
The pot would become tummy if it touches the sheretz, but here we're talking about you just overturn it to cover the sheretz without touching it. So therefore it doesn't become tummy. A sheretz is not the tummy, but oihel. Yeah. Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon.
Question.
So yeah.
We have a source saying that there's never been a fly in the Beis Hamikdash, so why should there be shlatzim in the Beis Hamikdash?
Okay, so you're asking in Pirkei Avos, we say loy nira zvuv v'beisim et b'chayim. So how could there be a sheretz? First of all, we're not necessarily saying there was, but we have to talk about if there is, what's the din. And second of all, it could be some of those things that it mentions in the Mishnayos there may not have been all the time. It may have only been when osim ritzonei shomakim. It may have only been when they deserve to have nisim in the Beis Mikdash. The same, there's a number of the things over there that we mentioned. For example, we also say in the Mishnah, but anyway, first of all, we have to talk about the din, what would be if it happens. We have to take precautions against it. The same way as, the same way, for example, another thing it mentions in the Mishnah over there is lo ira keri l'kohen gadol b'yom kippurim, that the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur never had an emission of keri that would make him possible for the avoda, but nevertheless, we say at the beginning of Yuma, they had a substitute kohen gadol available, and they would make sure to keep him up all night, etc. So you have to still take the steps that you can, and then the rest is in the Eibishter's hands. So over here, if it were to happen that there was a sheretz. And by the way, also part of the reason we say in Masechta Midas that when it talks about the structure of the Heichel, there was the Kala Orev on the top of it. I think we learned it earlier in our Masechta as well. There was a one amma tall thing on top of the roof of the Beis Mikdash that was meant to keep away ravens and crows. And one idea is because those often carry pieces of nevela or shrutzim or whatever, and we want to avoid them dropping them off on the Beis Mikdash. So there is the concern that there might in practice not be because of the nest, but nevertheless you still have to know what to do in case there is. Okay, the Mishnah finishes off Reb Shimon Omer Mokum Shi, which on the face of it, this last line in the Mishnah of Reb Shimon doesn't seem to have anything to do with what we just said before. So the very end of the Gemara is going to explain what Reb Shimon is referring to. He says, "Mokum shi tiru l'chachamim." When the chachamim were matir you something, when they allowed you something, mishocha nosnu l'cha, they gave you from what anyway really is supposed to belong to you. Shaloi hitiru l'cha ela mishum shvus. They were only matir to you things that are also mishum shvus. In other words, not things d'oraisa. What is Reb Shimon referring to? We're going to see in the Gemara at the very end what Reb Shimon is talking about, and then we'll talk about in that if it doesn't seem to have anything to do with our Mishnah, what's it doing over here? Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omer of Tovi Bar Kisna Omer Shmuel Hamachnis Tomei Sheretz L'Mikdash Chayev. If a person takes in to the Beis Mikdash a keli that became tomei by a sheretz into the Beis Mikdash, then he's chayev because you're not allowed to bring. He's chayev chatos or kores, as the case may be. Because Rashi says because he was over on what the pasuk says. Kiyas Mikdash Hashem Timei. He made the Beis Mikdash tomei by bringing in a keli that's tomei. On the other hand, Sheretz Atzmai Potter. On the other hand, says Rav Tovi Bar Kisna, if he were to bring in an actual dead Sheretz itself, then he would be Potter. So it seems counterintuitive. You bring in the Keli, which is a Rishon L'Tumah, you're going to be Chayev, but you bring in the Sheretz itself, which is the Avatumah, then you're Potter. My timer, so why is that? Omakro, because the Pasuk says, Mizochar v'ad nekeva t'shalechu, the Pasuk says that you have a mitzvah to send the tmeim away from the mitzvah, from Zohar to Nekeva, meaning that it has to be like a Zohar or like a Nekeva. Mishi yesh le'tara b'mikvah. So it has to be something which you're able to make tahor in a mikvah, like a person becomes tamei, they dip in a mikvah. And therefore that applies to a keli as well. Yotza sheretz, as we'll see soon, not klei cheretz, but Yotza sheretz shein leitara b'mikvah, as opposed to therefore sheretz, which cannot become tame, which cannot become tahor in a mikvah. Therefore, the pasuk is implying that if you bring the sheretz in, then you're not chayiv. So the Gemara says lema masayale. Can we say that the following brisa supports what he's saying? And then after that, we're going to get into how this relates to our Mishnah about the belt versus the wooden tongs. So lema masayale, can we say that we can support what Rav Tovi Bar Kisna is saying based on the following brisa? The pasuk says mizocha ad nekeva t'shalechu. You have to send away men and women from who are tamei from the Beis Mikdash. And by the way, in a couple of months from now in Pesachim, we're going to learn a sugya about the subject of which tmeim are sent out of which machne. Mitzaroyim out of all three, Zovim and the ones like them out of two, Tmei Mes out of one, whatever. We're going to learn a sugya in Pesachim in the sixth perek, that deals with all of this in some detail. Anyway, so the Braisa says, Mizachar ad nekeva t'shalechu, prat l'klei cheres, divir Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says the words Mizachar ad nekeva come to exclude klei cheres. My timer. Now, why would that be? Why would klei cheres be an exception? Lav mishum de les leitara b'mikvah. The pashtus is because klei cheres are also like a sheretz in that regard. You can't make them tahor in a mikvah. So therefore, we would see the point is Rabbi Yosi Aglili is telling us anything which is not like a zohar or nekeva, in that it can't become tahor by dipping it in a mikvah, you're not chayev for bringing it into the bis mikdash. Therefore, that would tell us the same thing is true as far as the sheretz itself. The answer is lie, not necessarily. You could say the comparison that Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying is Misha Nasa Avatuma. What is the an issue to bring into this mikdash? Only something which it itself could become an Avatuma. Yotza Kli Cheres She'ena Nasa Avatuma. So therefore, as opposed to a Kli Cheres, which is not able to become an Avatuma. Now, why is that? So Rashi explains at some length over here. How would a keli become an avatoma? There are two major ways. One is where it's used for midras hazov, where a zov sits or leans or whatever on it. So Rashi gives a reason over here that it wouldn't become an avatoma from midras because if the zov sits on it or stands on it or whatever, it's going to break. So therefore, it's not nasa l'midras. We learn when we learn perek shloisha trisin hein, then we have over there each kind of keli. This one is tomei midras. This one is tomei tmemes. This one is tohu miklum. Because you have, in order for something to be tomei midras, it has to be something which is made where at least one of its functions is to sit on or stand on or lean on or whatever. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, if you have the kind of thing where they say to the person amoid v'nasa malachtenu, get up. We want to use this thing for its primary purpose. It's not meant for you to sit on, then it's not makabel toma. Here it would be a similar kind of thing, because if you sit on a kli cheres, you're going to break it. Actually, the Gemara in Shabbos mentions a different reason why kli cheres can't become an avat toma, based on a similar comparison to what we're making over here, because they can't be dipped in a mikveh and become tahor. Therefore, we learn by a hekesh or gzeir shava or whatever that they can't become tomei medras either. Anyway, so they can't become an avat toma from tumas midras. They also can't become tomei as an avatuma from being in an oil a mess, because by touching a mess or whatever, because again you have the psukim over there in connection with tumas mess that implies that when you have a keli that can become tahor with porah, drummer water and mikveh, then it becomes an avatuma when it touches a mess or is in an oil a mess or whatever. But a kli cheres, again, you can't dip in a mikveh, therefore it doesn't become an avatuma. So a kli cheres never becomes an avatuma. A kli cheres can only be a rishon l'tumah or lower. So therefore, so Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is telling us, therefore, that anything that is, that could be an avatuma, a person is chayev for taking it into the Mishmikdash. Now Rashi mentions that he would be chayev even if it was a rishon latuma. Let's say, for example, you have, let's say, a metal keli or a wooden keli or whatever, which is capable of becoming an avatuma. Let's say this particular one is only a rishon latuma. For example, let's say you have, again, like we sort similar to what we said in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to relate this discussion to our Mishnah, that let's say you have a piece of cloth, the belt of the Kohen, for example, which is able to become an avatuma. Because, for example, if it were to touch a mess, it would be an avatuma. The mess himself is an aviavoisatuma. The keli that touches him is an avatuma. So Rashi learns over here that that even if this particular keli was only a rishon latuma, let's say, for example, by touching a sheretz, nevertheless, there would still be an iser to bring it into the Beis Mikdash and a chi of kore suchatas. The Rambam actually learns differently. He learns that that the chi of midaraisa is only if the thing that's itself is an avatuma, again, like the Gemara says over here, therefore, so a kli cheres is never included, and even other kalim, if they happen to be a rishon latuma or lower, then there wouldn't be an isur darai, then there wouldn't be a chiyuv daraisa to bring them into the Beis Hamikdash, only an isur derabanan. Anyway, so not necessarily is what Rabbi Yossi HaGlili saying a proof for what Rav Tovi Bar Kisne is saying. Okay, the Gemara says lema ketanoi. Should we say then that this that it's actually a machloikas tanoim on the subject of whether if a person takes a sheretz into this mikdash, is he going to be chayev? Maybe what Rav Tovi Bar Kisne is telling us is subject to a machloikas tanoim, because the our Mishnah had said sheretz shenimtza b'mikdash. If you find a dead sheretz in the mikdash, koyin mitzia behem yoni. We said the koyin should take it out with his belt, shalad the shayis as a truma, in order not to leave the truma there any longer than necessary. Divir Rabbi Yechin ben Broka. Rabbi Yehuda, I remember tzvas shalaitz mitzia. Rabbi Yehuda says you take it out using wooden tongs, shalad the rabbis as a truma, in order not to increase the amount of truma, because like this you're making the belt tummy. My love b'hoka miflegi. So shouldn't we say that this is the machloikas of the machloikas of Rabbi Yechon ben Broka and Rabbi Yehuda is on the point that Rabbi Tovi Bar Kisne is saying? Demand omer shloi l'shahis. Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, who says you want to get the tumah out of there as fast as possible, kasaver hamachnis sheretz l'mikdash chayev. He would hold that on a daraisa level, you have to get the sheretz out of there as fast as possible. And on a daraisa level, if you brought a sheretz in, you'd be chayev. Therefore, get it out as fast as possible. That means you're going to make the avnet tome. Doesn't matter. You still have a chiyuv daraisa to get the sheretz out of there as fast as possible. Umanda omashal el rabbis, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you want to not increase the tumah, kasavra machnes sheretz lemikdash potur. He would say that, listen, anyway, bringing in a sheretz is not also daraisa, and after all, we have a possibly even daraisa thing to not be metame the avnate. Therefore, better we should look for the wooden tongs and get them rather than creating tumah where we didn't have it before. Because taking the sheretz out, he would hold, is not so important. Which would be, in other words, then like Rav Tovi Bar Kisne is saying that bringing in the sheretz is not a chiyuv daraisa. The Gemara says loy, not necessarily. Is that the machlokas? Dekulei alma chayev. You could say that both Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Yehuda agree that bringing in a sheretz a person is chayev for. Which, by the way, what would that do with what Rav Tovi Bar Kisne, with what Shmuel is telling us? Tosfos says, okay, then Shmuel would say it is in fact machlokas tanoim, like we assumed. Fine, the Gemara is going to show that it's not necessarily, but Shmuel doesn't have to agree with that okimta of the Gemara. Shmuel could continue saying that it is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and he's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel another girsa that maybe dekulei alma potter, that maybe would say everybody would say he's potter for bringing in the sheretz, and then in other words everybody would be agreeing with Shmuel, but Tosfos doesn't like that girsa, so we're left with the girsa that we have over here, which is also Rashi's girsa dekulei alma chayev, which means okay, Shmuel will say it is a machlokas tanoim, but the Gemara can show that it's not necessarily a machlokas tanoim. They might actually both be disagreeing with Shmuel. So to call it alma chayev, everybody might agree that bringing a sheretz itself in, a person is chayev for being metame mikdash. Vahacha b'hacha mivligi. So the machloikas would be on the following point. Mar sava shahuya truma odif. What we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda says it's still better to leave the sheretz there for longer rather than making more tuma. After all, the avnet is also something of kodesh, and you don't want to make it tuma if you don't have to. Umar Sava, Apushi Tuma Adif, whereas the other one says that that making more tuma is still better, even though it means you're making the avnet tuma, at least you're getting the sheretz out of there as fast as possible. It's possible he may also mean apushi tuma odif. He may also mean that the longer you leave the sheretz there, the more the chance that somebody else or something else is going to touch it and become tameh, and therefore you want it out of there as fast as possible. Okay. So not necessarily is this machloikas in our Mishnah related to the machloikas, related to Shmuel's statement. It could be both of them disagree with it, or according to Rabbeinu Hananel, maybe both of them agree with it. And so not necessarily is it subject to a machloikas tanoim. That's a good point. If they had shmatas around, maybe, but not.
This guy dropped people. I was kind of walking.
They may well have. They, as far as you're talking about the animal droppings, first of all, they may have. We don't know whether they picked them up with shmatas. For we know they may have picked them up with their bare hands. But also, it's very likely they made sure as much as possible that the animals should, you know, be taken care of and dealt. You know, make sure that they've defecated whatever they need to before they bring them into the Beis Hamikdash, if at all possible. Okay, yeah, you could have, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe they had shmatas for the purpose. If they did, then yeah, I suppose you could use it to pick up the sheretz as well, but I don't know if necessarily they did. Okay. Ela kahani tanoi. No, rather, we can say, though, it's fine, you can say it. We can still say that what Shmuel is telling us about bringing in the sheretz versus bringing in a keli that became tomei with the sheretz is subject to a machloikas tanoim, but not the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, but rather the machloikas in the sefer of the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva. What parts of the Azara do you take the dead sheretz out of on Shabbos? Where we say the Mishnah had said mehechen metzianoi zichula, that Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says that you only take it out on Shabbos from the areas of the Azara that have greater kedusha. You don't take it out of the rest of the Azara. There you just put the pot over it, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Akiva, you take it out from the entire Azara. So, my lab b'hokamifli. So wouldn't that be the same machlokas? After all, both Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva agree that there is a chiyuv kores for going into the entire Azara tamei. The machloikas between them is only what do we do as far as the dead sheretz over here. So wouldn't the underlying argument be demanda amma me'azara loy, Reb Shim ben Nanas, who says you don't take it out of the entire azara, kasava hamachnis sheretz l'mikdash potter, he would hold that if you bring in a sheretz into the Beis Mikdash potter. In other words, there's no chiyuv d'araisa to take out the sheretz. When it says mizocha and nekeva to shaleichu, you have a mitzvah to take out tomei things and tomei people from the Beis Mikdash. It doesn't include a sheretz because ein leitara. So Amachnes Sheretz the Mikdash Potter. So also bringing one in would be Potter. So therefore, when it comes to you find the dead Sheretz over there, don't take it out. You still have, there is an Issur Shavuos, there is an Issur Drabanan of picking up dead Shrotzim on Shabbos because they're Mukta. So therefore, in certain parts of the Azara, not necessarily should you do it. In the parts that have greater Kedusha, fine, there you can do it. Umanda Oma Mikula Azara, whereas Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you take it out from the entire Azara, Kosova Chayev, he would hold you Chayev for bringing in a dead Sheretz, or, and you have a mitzvah to take it out, to take the dead Sheretz out right away from the Azara. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Ushneim Mikra Echadoshu. So Rabbi Yechanan says that actually both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas are both darshaning from the same posik in Divrei Hayomim, their opinions. Rashi explains that we're continuing with the discussion. We're saying that not necessarily can we connect the machloikas of Rav Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva to what Shmuel is saying, because Rashi says they might both agree that if you bring in the sheretz yuchayev, the machloikas would be as far as, is there a mitzvah to take out the sheretz when you find it in the Azara? So Rashi learns that we're still continuing with that discussion of and saying that maybe they would hold that there's a difference as far as that, but not necessarily would they agree with what Shmuel says, that hamachnes sheretz potter. Tosfos says, doesn't seem to work though. The fact is, you have the two things go together. Wherever you have a mitzvah, wherever you have a mitzvah to take it out, then you have a chiyuv koris or chatos if you bring it in. So how can the Gemara be trying to say that there's a distinction? So therefore, Tosafot says no. Okay, the Gemara is finished with what it said. Okay, so there's machlokas tanoim. Fine. What Shmuel is saying, according to that, would work only according to Reb Shimon ben Nanas. It wouldn't work according to Reb Akiva. Now the Gemara is mentioning a separate thing. That the Gemara wants to inform us where did Reb Shimon ben Nanas and Reb Akiva get their respective opinions from about the whole Azara versus part of the Azara. But now, according to Tosafos, we're done with what Shmuel had said. We're not continuing with that point. Fine, we've established that what Shmuel is saying is subject to a machlokes tanoim. Again, according to Rashi, we're saying that no, we're still trying to say that maybe it is, maybe it's not. Okay, so the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, so the Pasuk is describing over there how. Now you had Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, had brought up a Zara into the Beis Hamikdash, into all over Eretz Yisrael, or all over Eretz Yehuda, actually, which is what he ruled over. Then when Achaz died and Chizkiyahu took over, the first thing he does is he gets the Kohanim to start cleaning up the Beis Hamikdash. Chizkiyahu was Achaz's son, yeah. We're going to learn in Psachim, by the way, Be'ez Hashem, that there's a number of unusual things that Chizkiyahu did where the Chachamim approved of what he did. One of them was when Achaz died. Now, usually a king, you make a huge funeral with Bekovedik and everything. He instead, it's also in Chelek, I think, yeah, that he dragged him around on a bed of ropes, yeah, and the Chachamim in order to be mechaper for him, in order to show people that this kind of thing is intolerable to Avodah Zarah and these other Avedas and whatever, and the Chachamim approved of what he did. Anyway, so the Psukim described there in Divrei Hayamim how Chizkiyahu told the Kohanim and Leviim to clean up the Beis Hamikdash of all the Avodah Zarah that was there. The Pasuk describes, by the way, it took several days because it wasn't just a matter of carrying out all the getchkes. The Medrash mentions, or I think the Yerushalmi or the Medrash or whatever mentions that there were Avodah Zarahs painted and engraved on the walls, and they had to scrape them off as well. So it took several days to get the whole thing done. Yeah. The Gemara in Chelek over there, in fact, asks how come Achaz is not listed among the kings that lost their place in Adam Haba? Isn't he at least as bad as Menashe and the other ones over there? The Gemara gives a couple of answers over there, one of them being that he was at least a little embarrassed of his Averis. He wasn't bad. The Gemara mentions over there how one time Yeshaya came to speak to him, and he was embarrassed, and he covered his face. So that shows that at least he had a shtickle busha of his Averis. Anyway, whatever. There's also probably also, the, I think also the Gemara mentions over there, this, the dragging him around also helped me mechaper. Yeah. Anyway. So the Pasuk says, Vayavoyu ha-koinim lefnima beis Hashem l'tahar. The koinim came inside, into the house of Hashem, meaning into the heichel, to make it tahar. Vayetziru es kol ha-tumah Hashem motzu b'heichel Hashem l'chatzar beis Hashem. They took out all the tumah, meaning all the Avodah Zarah, and so the Koyanim, it's a good question how much of the Avodah they did. In fact, the Gemara there in Chelek mentions that Ochaz Hela Smomis, or Shmomis, al Gabi HaMizbeach. Now, what is a Shmomis? He brought up a Shmomis onto the Mizbeach. Now, a Shmomis, there's a few different explanations. One is that it means spiders, in which case it means he was Mevatel, the Avodah. He forced the Koyanim to stop doing the Avodah. So spider webs grew on the Mizbeach, as they do in places that are uninhabited. Another explanation is that a Shmomis is a lizard or some other kind of Tomei animal, and it means that he took Tomei animals and was mocked with them on the Mizbeach. So there may have been some form of avodah going on during that time, but Chizkiyahu mentions over there in the Psukim when he gathers the Kohanim and the Leviim together and tells them what needs to be done. He tells them that Achaz closed up the doors of the Heichel and they didn't bring Korbanos, etc. So if there were Korbanos brought, it was maybe, you know, when Achaz was out of the country maybe and couldn't interfere, let's say. I don't know. Anyway. So Vayavoyu HaKohanim Lefnima Beis Hashem L'Tahir, the Kohanim went inside the house of Hashem, meaning into the Heichel, L'Tahir, to make it Tahir. Vayetziru es kol ha-tumah Hashem motzu b'Heichel Hashem l'chatzar Beis Hashem. They took out all the tumah, meaning the Avodah Zarah itself, as well as the tekroivas, things that had been offered to the Avodah Zarah. They took them all out, l'chatzar Beis Hashem, to the chotzer of the Beis Mikdash. And the Leviim then received it from them and took it out to Nachal Kidron and threw it away over there. The point is that we're saying that the Kohanim had to hand it to the Leviim. They needed as many people as possible because they wanted to do the job as fast as possible. But that, well, never mind the pliers. The point is they didn't give it to other Kohanim. They davka gave it to Leviim. So why do they dafka? Koyanim can be in the Azorah as well. So why don't you have fine? When it comes inside the Heichel, fine. Only Koyanim can go into the Heichel. Although we'll discuss that point soon as far as... Okay, but fine. It's only Tumas Sheretz. They can dip in a mikveh. But... they become tamei themselves when they handle them. Yeah, it's machloikas. We learned in Masech the Shabbos, there's machloikas how they're matame. Are they matame like a nida, which would be b'masa as well? Are they matame like a sheretz, only b'maga? Rashi over here mentions that they're matame b'oihel, maybe that maybe the tekruvis of a rezora at least is matame b'oihel. Anyway, whatever it is, fine. The Kohenim, there's no choice. You have to send somebody into the Heichel to do it. Necessarily, that has to be the Kohenim because Levium can't go into the Heichel. But the question is, why out in the Azorah, why were they davka giving it to Levim? Why couldn't you have some Kohenim are out in the Azorah and taking it and taking it off to Nachal Kidron and Levim as well? So, Mar Sova midi ishtini ba'azorah b'Levim. So, one opinion says then, since we see that they changed Benanas hold, since we see that in the Azorah they switched from Koyanim to Levim, Tumah ba'Azorah leka. So therefore, that we see that just because there's Tumah in the Azorah is not a reason to take it out as fast as possible. You can still wait for the Levim to come and do it. And therefore, applying that to our case over here, the same thing. Because on Shabbos, a dead sheretz is mukta, you don't need to take it out from the rest of the Azara. If it stays there a little longer, that's not a big deal. The same way as if the Tumah of Avodah Zarah stayed there a little bit longer until the Levium showed up, then it's not so bad. No, because the sheretz is small enough that it wouldn't make much of a smell. Yeah, sheretz is a small creature. It's a dead mouse or a dead lizard or whatever. Fine, it has a smell, but it's there. Umar Sova, where's Rabbi Akiva holds, no, the reason why they had Levim over there is ad hecha de la efshab Levim, up to the point where Levim can't go in, namely in the Heichel, matki koyanim, then you'd have the koyanim would bring it out, because Levim can't go into the Heichel, hashta de efshab Levim, but once you get to a point where it's possible to have Levim, because you're in the Azara, chulay matami koyanim, then we don't want to be matame the koyanim any further. So we don't, it's not a matter of that we don't mind leaving it there longer. It's a matter of we don't want to be matame the koyanim more than necessary, says Rabbi Akiva. But as long as it's in the Azara, it's necessary to get it out. And therefore we get it out as fast as possible from anywhere in the Azara, even on Shabbos. Okay. Since we're talking about going into the Heichel and removing Tumah and fixing over there things, so the Gemara says, Tonan Rabbanon, HaKol Nichnosin BeHeichel Livnos, anyone can go into the Heichel to build, meaning even though you're talking the Heichel, usually only Koyanim can go in, but when it comes to building over there, or Lasakin, or in order to fix things, or Lahotzias HaTumah, or to take out Tumah, anyone can go in there. But Mitzvah BeKoyanim, the ideal mitzvah is that Koyanim should go in. If there are no Koyanim available, then Levim can go in. If there are no Levim available, then Yisraelim can go in. But But in all cases, the people who go in have to be Tahor. You cannot send in someone who's Tameh. So that's one braisa, but Omer Rav Huna tells us, you should know, Rav Kahana Messiah Kahani. Rav Kahana helps out the Kohanim. In other words, he has another braisa, which shows, unlike this first braisa, that the Kohanim are more important. We were saying over here, again, in this first braisa, let's say, for example, the only Kohanim that are available are Tameh. This first braisa that we said would say you can't send them in because they're tamei. Therefore, you go for Levim or Yisrael instead. The second braisa that Rav Kahana is going to quote is going to say that Kohanim can go in all cases or in more cases than that, even where they're tamei or Baal Mom or whatever. So Rav Kahana is helping out the Kohanim. There is, by the way, there's a girsa over here, Rav Kahana, who himself is a Kohen. There's actually Tosfos mentions in some places that Rav Kahana himself was not necessarily a Kohen. His name was just Kahana. The fact is there is more than one Rav Kahana in Shas. There are six or seven or whatever. So some of them may have been Kohenim, some not. But even if this particular one who taught this Braisa is not in fact a Kohen, the fact that he has the name Kahana still shows he has a certain affinity for the Kohenim. So Rav Huna says like he's therefore bringing a Braisa that shows the greatness of the Kohenim, that we allow them in even when they're Tomei. The Tony Rav Kahana, Given that the Pasuk says about a Baal Mum that he's not allowed to approach the Parochus, meaning to go into the Heichel, and it applies not just to go to the oil, the Pasuk continues, he's not allowed to come close to the Mizbeach. So a Kohen Baal Mum is not allowed to go into those areas. The Rambam holds it's actually Daraisa. The Ramban holds it's not necessarily if he just goes in there. If he goes in there without a purpose, then yeah, he's chayev for a different reason. It's called Bia Rekonis. He's going in without a purpose. But if he's let's say a Kohen Baal Mum were to go in there and do the Avoda, he's chayev for doing the Avoda, but he's potter for going into that area because at least it wasn't Bia Rekonis. And according to the Ramban, it's not an Isur Daraisa for them to go in there. It's only an Isur Dirabanan. But according to the Rambam, it's an actual Isur Daraisa for the Kohen, just for the Kohen Baal Mum to go in anywhere beyond Beina Olam Lamizbeach. Anyway, Beina Olam Lamizbeach or further in. Anyway, given that the Pasuk says that, Yochol lo yu Kohen Baal Mum nechnosin Beina Olam Lamizbeach lasis rikuei pachim, you would think then that Kohen and Baal Mum are not allowed to go Beina Olam Lamizbeach or any further in, even when they're going in order to make rikuei pachim, which are hammered out sheets of gold that they would use to cover, to plate the walls of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So not that, which is an example of fixing things. So they're not going in there for avoda, they're going in there for that purpose of fixing things. No, Talmud Lama, ach cholak. Therefore, the Pasuk says, ach el aparechas layavai. The word ach makes a division. We're going to be learning that within a week in Masech the Pesachim, Bez Hashem, yes? So therefore, the Ach over here makes a division and says, when are Kohen and Baal and Mumen not allowed to go in? When they're going in to do the Avoda. They're allowed to go in in order to do work over there, like fixing, like putting up the Rikui Pachim. So the Braisa continues, Mitzvah B'Tmimim. The proper way of doing it, though, is that you should have Kohenim who are Tmimim go in. Ancient Tmimim, Rechnosin, Baalim Mumin, but if there are no Tmimim available, then you can send in Baalim Mum. Mitzvah B'Tahodin, the mitzvah is that they should be Tahor. Im Ancient Tahodin, Rechnosin Tmeim, if there are no Tahor Kohenim available, then you send in Tmeim. Aidi V'Aidi, Kohenim Ein, Yisraelim Loi. Either way, you only send in Kohenim, not Yisraelim. This is Rav Kahana's Braisa. So Rav Huna tells us, you see from this Braisa, that Rav Kahana is giving a greater Chashivos to Kohenim. He would, according to this Braisa, better that a Kohen who's Tomei or Baal Mum should go in rather than a Levi or Yisrael who's not a Baal Mum and is Tahor. Yeah. Okay. Iboilahu. So now we have a question in this connection. Tomei or Baal Mum, Ezem and Nichnas. Suppose you have a Kohen who's Tomei and a Kohen who's a Baal Mum. You don't have anybody else available. So you have to send in one of them. Ezem and Nichnas. Which one should go in to fix things? Rav Chia Ba'ashi Omer Rav Tomei Nichnas. So Rav Chia Ba'ashi says, in the name of Rav, the one who is Tomei should go in. Doho Ishtiri Ba'avodas Tzibur. Because after all, we see that a Tomei, we see when it comes to a Korbanas Tzibur, and as we'll learn in Pesachim about the Korban Pesach, that when they're Tomei, then they're able to bring the Korbanas anyway, if there are no Kohenim Tahodim available, or if most of the Tzibur is Tomei. So we see there is an exception already for Kohenim Tmeim. So therefore, the same exception can be over here that they can go in. As opposed to a Baal Mum, never does the Avoda. Rabbi Loza, I'm a Baal Mum Nichnas. Rabbi Loza says that no, the Baal Mum better should go in. Because after all, we see a Baal Mum has an advantage over a Tomei. A Baal Mum is able to eat Kodshim. A Tomei Koyen can do the Avoda, but he's not able to eat the Korbanos. An exception is the Korban Pesach. When the Korban Pesach is brought B'Tumah, then they can eat it B'Tumah. The Mishnah tells us in Pesachim, because the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is to be eaten. But other Korbanos, not. Other Korbanos, you bring Korbanos Tzibur B'Tumah, B'Moyodeh, Philip B'Shabbos, B'Moyodeh, Philip B'Tumah, but they don't eat it because they're Tomei. So therefore, so Rabbi Lazar says, you see there's never an exception where a Kohen, you see that there's never a case where a Kohen Tomei can eat Kodshim as opposed to a Baal Mum. The Torah tells us a Baal Mum gets a portion of Kodshim and can eat them. Okay. Well, that's the point. That's what Rabbi Lazar is saying. Better let the Baal Mum go in to do the fixing because at least he has the advantage that we see he can eat Kodshim. As opposed to the Tomei, who even though he can do the Avoda, can't eat Kodshim. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Oymer v'chulu, Rav Shimon had made two statements in the Mishnah. Number one, Mokim shi'itiru l'chachamim, when the chachamim would matthew you, mishochon nosna l'cha, they gave you from your own. So what is that? Something that really should have belonged to you anyway. So what does that mean? Rav Shimon heichakoi, where is Rav Shimon referring to? So Hossam Koi, he's referring all the way back to something that we learned in the fourth parak on Daf Nun Beis. The Tanan, if it got dark, if Shabbos began, and a person was outside the tchum of the city, afilo ama achas, even if he's only one ama outside the tchum, lo yikones, he cannot go into the city, meaning he can walk 2,000 amas from where he is, because he was kone shvisa, but if his 2,000 amas end in the middle of the city, then he has to stop right there. Yeah, even if it's in the middle of the city. Well, in other words, the 2,000 amas reach into the middle of the city, but he has to stop at the end of the 2,000 amas. And by the same token, if a person leaves the tchum, then you also have an issue that he can't walk more than 4 amas. Reb Shimon, says no. Even if he's as much as 15 amas outside the tchum, they would have tchum markers. They had markers after the surveyors surveyed the tchum. They would put markers in different places to show ad kan tchum Shabbos. So even if he's 15 amas beyond those markers, yikones, he can still go into the city and have the tchum of the city. In other words, he's considered that he was kone shvisa in the city. Because the surveyors don't exactly measure the 2,000 amas, they make it a little bit less. Because of the people who make mistakes, we had before when we learned this, and Rashi mentions over here also that toyim. There's two reasons. Number one is that the surveyors themselves make a mistake. We talked about over there, you use for the survey, and you use a rope 50 amas long, but they don't always consider, the surveyors don't always realize that when they're measuring and they're holding the rope at each end, then you have to subtract the amount that they're holding it, a tefach, a little over a tefach at each end, and over the 40 measurements that it takes to measure a 2,000 amatrum, you end up 15 amas short. So they don't realize that. So they end up putting the boundary marker there after they measured 40 ropes, not realizing they should measure another 15 amas. That's one explanation of Rashi. The other explanation is that they deliberately put it a little bit further in for this kind of problem, because you have, for example, people who mistakenly walk beyond the tchum markers, and then they're going to be stuck there the rest of Shabbos. So therefore, they dafka put it a little further in order to give them a margin of safety. Like this, after the person walked, he walked beyond the marker, he's going to chapzach within a few seconds. Wait a second, I'm beyond over here. I better not go any further. In fact, in the Gemara over there, Rashi says that 15 amas is not even necessarily always dafka 15 amas, no more, no less. It depends on the topography. If it's flatter land, then you might need more. If it's hilly land, you might need less. But yeah. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, "De'ka'oma Tanakama lo yikonis." So now the Tanakama is saying he's not allowed to go into the city, meaning and be like a person of the city and have the 2,000 amas on each side of it. But Amalei Reb Shimon yikonis. So Reb Shimon says, no, he could go in because Makam shenostal sheitiru l'chachachamim mishochon nostal l'chach. Because he's saying those 15 amas really belong to you. Because really, those 15 amas are part of the tchum of the city. They just left them out of the survey because of carelessness or because of caution or whatever, but they really belong to you. So therefore, we should allow you to go back into the tchum or to have the tchum of the city. That's Mishochon Nosno Lecha. No, you have it's one or the other. If you put your Erev Tchumen, then that becomes your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. If you slept in your house, nevertheless, We did talk about there is the possibility if you slept in your house, then fine. You have the din might be some of the Rishonim learn, and I think this is the halacha, that you are allowed to walk throughout your city, even though parts of your city are outside the Tchum of your Erev Tchumen. You're just not allowed to walk beyond the city in that direction. If you live in the city over here and you put your Erev Tchumen over here, so you're going to be allowed to walk 2,000 amas in every direction from that. But if it so happens that, so your house is here, so it's within the 2,000 amas, according to those who are showing him, you would be allowed to walk the rest of the city in this direction, because after all, you did sleep in your house. But the tchum starts at beyond the city, right? Right. Right. Well, again, if his makom shvisa is in the city, then he can walk the whole city. The Rambam writes, I feel like he can Ninveh. It's actually yesterday's Perek Achad Rambam, that even if the city is as big as Ninveh, you're allowed to. But here we're talking about, let's say his makom shvisa is outside the city, but nevertheless, part of the city is within his 2,000 amas. In particular, his house is in the part of the city that's within 2,000 amas. We learned before that there are Rishonim who learn that he would be able to walk throughout the rest of the city and He's not allowed to walk any distance beyond the city in that direction because it's already outside the 2,000 amas from his Eruv, but he would be able to walk within the city itself. Okay. So that's one statement of Reb Shimon. Then we said, that they were only matu you because of Shavuos. So heichakoi, what is Reb Shimon referring to with that? Hasam koi, he's referring back to earlier in our perek. We had among the cases where we said that there's a din that's different in the Beis Hamikdash than outside the Beis Hamikdash was the case of a harp string of the Levium that broke. And we said over there, you had the machloikas, whether you're allowed to tie it properly or whether you only have to make a boat, whether you're only allowed to make a bow tie. The Tanakama had said that the Levi is allowed to tie the string. So we said to put in a new string knot, but to tie the string you'd be allowed to. And Reb Shimon says that no, all you can do is make a bow tie. So Reb Shimon says, because Reb Shimon is going to say, when it comes to a bow tie, there's no way that making a bow tie is going to lead to a chiyuv chatas. Reb Yehuda holds that a bow tie is considered a real knot as far as Hilchos Shabbos. Everybody else disagrees with him, including Reb Shimon. So therefore, a bow tie is not something that could possibly lead you to being over on an Issur D'oraisa. Therefore, fine. But kshira de osi de chiyuv chatas, but tying an actual knot, which anywhere else in the world would be an isu daraisa of tying an actual knot, because you might, well, actually, anywhere else in the world, it might or might not be. Rashi is explaining, gzeira shema yikshur kesher shokayama. We learned in Masech the Shabbos that the only kind of knot that a person is chayav for daraisa, it has to be a kesher uman, a professional type knot, and it has to be shokayama, that you plan to leave it that way permanently. If it's something that you only plan to leave it, let's say for a few days or a week or whatever at a time, then it's only also d'rabbanan. But outside the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to tie a kesher she'enei shokayama because you might tie one that's shokayama. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, even in the Beis Hamikdash, therefore, I'm not allowing you to tie a knot, even though it might be the kind that's only also d'rabbanan, because anywhere else in the world you do that, it's also d'rabbanan, and therefore, even in the Beis Hamikdash, we're going to impose that shavuos. So in other words, Rashi says, Reb Shimon is saying, when it comes to the machshe chutz l'tchum that I make all over there, because mishalcha nosnu l'cha, because the chacham are giving you the extra 15 amos, which anyway really is yours, which really is at your disposal, but shaloi hitiru l'cha ela mishum shavus, but Reb Shimon saying, all the heterim that we have in our perek and all the heterim that we've had up until now are all when there's a matter of shavus, only when there's isur d'rabbanan involved. Here we're dealing with a potential isur d'rabbanan. If you were to make a knot which is professional and permanent, and therefore I can't allow that. Therefore, all I can allow is a bow tie. So that's what Reb Shimon means with these two statements. I'm makel when it comes to the tchum, but on the other hand, but there it's only a din d'rabbanan. On the other hand, I'm machmir when it comes to the harp string because there's a potential issur d'oraisa involved. So Tosfos asks, in that case, then why did Reb Shimon wait? We had the machloikas about the harp string a few blot ago. Why didn't the Mishnah mention Reb Shimon's machloikas there? So Tosfos says, okay, because the Gemara wanted to finish off with all the things regarding the Beis Hamikdash, and then it mentions this point of Reb Shimon's. We covered it a few days ago, but then we just mentioned the din. And then we just mentioned the din. Now, at the end, after we finished all the other things that we're talking about that are in the Beis Hamikdash versus in the Medina, then the Gemara points out, you should know that the Mishnah points out, you should know that Reb Shimon wants to give you a reason why he would say that, why he would disagree with what it says in the Mishnah over there and say that all you can do is make a bow tie. We learned that in the Gemara over there, but now Reb Shimon is pointing that out in the Mishnah. But the Gemara didn't want to interrupt in the middle of the whole series of things where we're saying the Beis Hamikdash versus the Medina. Okay, Marsha asks on that. The fact is, though, I mean, we had other machlokas in that connection with these things of the Beis Hamikdash versus the Medina. We had anyway. What about the first part of Reb Shimon's statement, which refers all the way back to something in the fourth perek? Why did we wait with it until now? So Marsha gets into a long explanation. The gist of it is that he's saying Reb Shimon is not just referring to these particular two dinim. Reb Shimon is actually referring to, in general, the whole Masechta. throughout the whole Masechta, we've been saying all kinds of atarim that the Chachamim are giving us in different things. You have two chatseras, but you have a case where by rights you shouldn't be able to carry from one to the other, but the Chachamim are making it possible for you to make an eruv, and even if you only have a doorway between them, or even if you only have ladders and so forth, and then you're able to. And you have with tchumen, you're only allowed to walk 2,000 amos, but then you can make an eruv tchumen, and you can walk another 2,000 amos in that direction, and so forth. So therefore, sort of Shimon says Marasha is telling us a general thing about the whole Masechta Eruvin. In general, given that almost everything in Eruvin is Dirabanan, the whole concept of Eruv Tchumen is according to almost everybody is Dirabanan, and Eruv Chatzeros is definitely Dirabanan. So Mishalcha Nosnu Lacha. So the Chachamim, given that all of these things should have been in your possession in the first place, you should, midaraisi, you would be allowed to carry from one chatzor to another. Midaraisi, you'd be able to walk well outside the tchum. It's only midrabanan that you can't. Therefore, the Chachamim imposed rules, but mishalcha nasa lacha, the Chachamim then, within those rules itself, they gave you back part of what belongs to you. For example, they gave you the ability to make an eruv tchumin or an eruv chatzeris. And then shaloi hitiru elamishum shvus, because the fact of the matter is, all of this is only matters of shvus. If it was isurim daraisa, then the chachamim wouldn't be able to be maker with them. So therefore, so the two statements of Reb Shimon actually fit together and tell us a general thing about the whole masechta. He goes on to say, which I mentioned last night at the siyum, an interesting point also, that the idea is the Chachamim wanted to make it possible for you to do mitzvahs. So in our perek, all of what we've been talking about, the Bais Mikdash versus anywhere else, is the Chachamim want to enable you to be able to do the mitzvahs of the Avodah and the Bais Mikdash, and therefore they relax certain rules over there. The same thing when it comes to Eruv Chatzeres, when it comes to Eruv Tchumen, it helps with the mitzvah of making shalom between people. Because in the case of Eruv Chatzeres, that you're allowed, that neighbors are, you have the story that the Yerushalmi mentions about the two women that didn't get along with each other, and then they made an Eruv Chatzeres, and then ended up making Shalom between them. And similarly with Eruv Tchumen, that now you're able to go visit somebody in the next town over, and that helps create Shalom between Jews. So therefore, so all of that is a matter, all of that is a matter of a mitzvah, and therefore the Chachamim are allowing it the same way as in this last Perek, they're allowing different things in the Beis Mikdash for the sake of the mitzvah. So the Beis Mikdash, the same way throughout the Masechta, they're allowing these things for the sake of the mitzvah of making Shalom between Jews. The Rebbe has a hadron on Masechta Eruvin, where he also deals with more about why Reb Shimon makes these statements and what he means by them. And also, the Rebbe asks, what is the connection between this and we have this? These statements of Reb Shimon are in the same Mishnah as the one about the dead sheretz. What's the connection? And the gist of it is that Rebbe explains, when Reb Shimon says yikones, in a certain sense, it doesn't just mean Reb Shimon is saying you're allowed to go back in the 15 amos. Reb Shimon is saying you should go back in because, after all, you have a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. If you're going to be stuck out there the rest of Shabbos, then it's going to interfere with your oneg Shabbos. So therefore, Reb Shimon wants you to go back in, given that the 15 amos belong to you anyway, you should actually go back in and that way continue to have your oneg Shabbos. And so the Rebbe goes on to explain that Reb Shimon is saying, you have the question of, the famous question of kamus versus echus, of quality versus quantity. You're going in, and maybe in this particular case, the surveyors were exact, and the 15 amos don't really belong to you, but maybe not. On the other hand, you have against that oneg Shabbos. So Reb Shimon is telling you, better that the kamus, you're doing something that might be, you're doing something that there might be a slight chance that it's also one time, but at least that way you have for the rest of Shabbos, therefore, not really kamus versus echus, rather, but a one-time thing versus an ongoing thing. So should you go back in the one time? Yes, you should, because that will enhance the whole rest of your Shabbos. And on the other hand, though, he's saying when it comes to the harp string, if you make a bow tie, then you may have to tie it over and over again. You may be spending the rest of Shabbos retying it, because how long is a bow tie going to last? Nevertheless, Reb Shimon says, I can only say this thing of one time versus ongoing only when we're dealing with things d'rabbanan, like we're dealing with tchumen versus oneg Shabbos, which are both d'rabbanan, as opposed to when you have a knot, which is a potential issur d'oraisa, then we can't say that. Then you have to make it. You have to make an aniva. You have to make a bow tie, even though that may mean you're going to be doing it over and over again. Relating that to earlier in the Mishnah, then you have the case of the sheretz. It's essentially the same question. Should you leave the sheretz there a little bit longer, but not create more tumah? Or should you get it out of there as fast as possible, even though you're creating tumah? That's essentially the same point as Reb Shimon is talking about with the tchum versus the harp string. So there's... Fine, but the fact remains, though, Reb Shimon is saying that I can't allow you to make a knot because you might make an issur d'oraisa, because you might do an issur d'oraisa, because if it was anywhere else, because it's such a knot, potentially there's an issur d'oraisa involved, as opposed to, he's saying, with tchumen, there's never a potential issur d'oraisa involved, because the whole thing of tchumen is only d'rabbanan. The Rebbe finishes off in the sikha over there that you see the lesson from all of this that relates to the Hodah, that relates to Eruvin in general, is the whole purpose, the whole concept of Eruvin is, we talked about yesterday about the Siyum, about the idea that you're taking the outside world and bringing it into your domain. It's sort of the opposite. In Masech to Shabbos, we were talking about the idea that you're not allowed to carry things outside your Rishus into another Rishus, and you're not allowed to do Malacha, which represents the idea that you have to acknowledge that the world is all Hashem's reshus for Shabbos, and you have no business doing malacha in it. But on the other hand, you have Masech the Eruv, and is about bringing the outside reshus into the inside, making it part of your Eruv, Chatzerus or Tchumen, as the case may be. But even after you've done that, you may find a Sheretz over there. You may find Tumah over there. It's not your own thing. It's a Chitzoniistic thing to you. But nevertheless, you still have to deal with it. And the question is only, do you deal with it from the point of view of your Levushim, meaning, therefore, that would be the Manda Amar that says that you pick it up with your belt, or is it something that you and your Levushim should not be dealing with it? You have to deal with it. So you have to deal with it as something completely chitzoniistic to you. Alderach, he says, like the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, a person has machshavas zoris doing davening. You don't go and get involved with them and start fighting against them or whatever. You kind of ignore them and let them be dealt with on their own, which is the equivalent of taking the wooden tongs and taking out the sheretz with that. Hadron alacha mitzvah tefillin a slickol masechta seirovin.